the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Where are we starting?
Yes.
We're going to start with the goalkeeper.
We're going to start with an Aston Villa player.
Aye.
Sure. In goal, Emiliano Martinez.
Signing of the year?
Oh, he's certainly in contention. He has made a radical difference to Aston Villa. When you look at how much of a mess they were at the back last season, and I know they had injury issues in goal, but Pepe Reina's in goal for parts of the season. Like, they conceded the sort of traditional amount relegated teams would concede, somewhere between 60 and 70. He's come in and he's kept 7 clean sheets so far, makes a string of brilliant saves, also looks like a modern goalkeeper in that is comfortable with the ball at his feet, and has transformed Aston Villa. Only Manchester City have conceded fewer goals so far this season, which is a heck of a turnaround. And there have been some good goalkeepers. Edouard Mendy has done something similar since he's come in at Chelsea after the disaster of Kepa. And Alisson is still, week in, week out, as good as it gets. But I think Emiliano Martinez, for the transformation he's brought around that Aston Villa defence, is the goalkeeper of the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit wild that Arsenal looked at him and went, nah, we don't need your type around here. Fair enough. I'm, like, absolutely thrilled with the way the signing has worked out.
Well, it's probably just help reinforce and really bring extra attention to how good he's been this season is by looking at what's been going on with Bernd Leno. And again, their backup last night, the Atlantic keeper, who just looked all over the shop. And Arsenal have been a complete mess. So, yeah, one of the signings of the season for Aston Villa.
Yeah, there were a couple of other keepers that they were in for who you were like, oh, I'm not sure about this. But once this happened, I'm starting to believe that Villa won't be relegated. That's how broken us Villa fans are. It's like, well, you know, I mean, we could still.
There could be a 12-game losing streak just around the corner.
There could be some weird points deduction on the basis of some nonsense. You know, fate has conspired against us in the past. But very happy with that. So you're back four. Not really that much at the fullbacks to complain about. We'll start there.
Yeah, well, fullbacks was probably one of the most difficult decisions because it's obviously become such an important part on the pitch. And I had it down to three, which were Alexander-Arnold, Dallas and James. But that's not even including the likes of Castagna at Leicester, who started the season brilliantly, has been injured. I thought Seamus Coleman, when he was fit, was excellent again. You've Koufal, who's just come in at West Ham. But I think Reece James has been the pick of the bunch so far. Alexander-Arnold's been caught out quite a few times defensively this season, not having exactly the same impact in terms of assists at the other end. Whereas Reece James has come in and what could have been a bit of an issue for Chelsea with Azpilicueta getting older, and Azpilicueta has been as solid a defender as you've had for the last 10 years, but is far more of that more modern fullback than Azpilicueta, constantly getting forward, looks really assured defensively, strong on the ball, and considering he was one of those, you wonder, will they keep him, will they let him go out on loan? He is now their first choice right back for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, I think a real centrepiece. Like, Chelsea really like these type of players who come through and are Chelsea players, essentially. I think that's the type of thing that, you know, there's a real opportunity for him to be the, oh, look, our business is actually a really well-run business. And I kind of think it is.
Could have added Matty Cash into the mix there as well. Another good signing for Aston Villa from Notts Forest. Left back, straightforward, Andy Robertson. Probably the best left back in world football right now. Alphonso Davies has been injured all season, so I think Robertson, over the last 4 months, has been, yet again, is such an integral part of everything Liverpool do defensively, getting forward, and just his general attitude, the way he drives that team on again and again. Reguilón has been brilliant since coming in at Spurs. Ben Chilwell has probably been a lot better than a lot of people expected. I know they spent a lot of money, but defensively, there haven't been any issues so far with Ben Chilwell, but Robertson is a step above everybody else at left back.
Now, centre backs, this is where things get very, very, very interesting / controversial.
Well, I'm not sure about that because I don't think it's been a great year for centre backs so far. So I've gone with Wesley Fofana of Leicester, who has been right up there as well in the signings of the season. He's just turned 20 last week, brought in from Saint Etienne, plays every single week, comfortable on the ball, strong, good tackler, and has been a key part of Leicester's rise up the table.
Just on to come in. Yeah, like this is, I mean, all jokes aside, I think it's definitely the signing of the season if he continues in this form and there is no kind of teenage second half of the season blip. But like, this is potentially best footballer in the world territory we're talking about here if his career continues to progress at the level it's at the moment.
Well, he's definitely someone you would look at that, say, Virgil van Dijk doesn't make the recovery that Liverpool expect, that over the next couple of years, he has that type of ability that he could step in and be the next Virgil van Dijk at Liverpool. Still a bit to go. He's only 4 or 5 months into this season. And for young players, they can have a dip in confidence at the wrong time and things go wrong. But he hasn't put a foot wrong so far. He's been absolutely brilliant. And they've got Johnny Evans in there alongside him. So they've got a nice little bit of experience. Wes Morgan is still hanging around. So like, this is the Leicester side that, again, play that attacking brand of football that you can't just be a defender. It's not a backs-to-the-wall job, goal line clearances. You're expected to provide. You're expected to start off attacks. And he does that. So I think Wesley Fofana thoroughly deserves his place in this team. And alongside him, I've gone for Fabinho. Other contenders, I thought Connor Cody's played well. Kurt Zouma's having his best season for Chelsea. Tyrone Mings, obviously an important part of what Villa are doing defensively. Mourinho's transformed Eric Dier. Ruben Dias finally looks to have settled the Manchester City defence. But Liverpool lost the best defender in the world in Virgil van Dijk and have improved defensively over the last few weeks from the start of the season. And while he's not a traditional centre-half, obviously in terms of height or physicality, he's everything that Liverpool need because his range of passing, his positional sense, and to step in and replace Virgil van Dijk and therefore not to be any dip.
But he hasn't.
I think you got to have Fabinho in the team.
I don't know about that. I mean, he like the team have improved. They've got better. They've got fitter. They're also back in form in a way that they weren't at the start of the year. You can't put it down to Fabinho. It's the fact that they're mullering teams is really helping, that they're not under the pressure that they were at the start of the year. That, like, his job has been relatively easy compared with what you might expect. And I don't know, you can't really have somebody who isn't a defender.
But he is a defender. He's their first choice defender right now. And that's the other thing. He's not just going into a position that he's uncertain of and putting the head down just trying to get through it. He's the leader of that defence, where he's playing alongside Reece Williams on his Premier League debut. Matip is in 1 week. Somebody else is in another week. He's had 4 or 5 centre-back partners already.
Is there a possibility
that senior member of that partnership?
Is there a possibility that this is one of those career changes that we're seeing?
That he never goes back?
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
If that happens, then I'll have him.
So, because he has played all season at centre-back, but is traditionally, in fantasy football, he's down as a midfielder. We can't have him down as a centre-back, despite being one of the two best centre-halves all year.
Is he one of the two best centre-halves all year? Is he not just...
Well, that's what I'm telling you. He is.
Well, all right. I mean, it's your team
of the year. Who are you having instead of him?
That's the problem. Like,
it's been a bad year for centre-backs.
I would like to do a deep dive on the stats and see who's got, like, the most impact on games. I mean, who impacts the XG of the opposition more? I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that analysis going on.
All right, Mikel Arteta.
As opposed to, the team I support has got better because this guy's playing centre back. But anyway, who's your midfield?
Midfield, I've gone at the base of my midfield for Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. I thought this was a strange signing during the summer. Spurs have been chasing him for quite a while from Southampton, but he has brought a nice little bit of bite. Probably too much at times, seems to get booked every second game for Spurs. But after Kane and Son, he's been the key man this season. Gives them that base, that protection in front of defence, which obviously Mourinho is very keen on. There have been a couple of other players in that position who've excelled. Alan has come in at Everton and does a sort of similar job. And I was close to putting Declan Rice in. Every time I watch Declan Rice, he's just getting better and better. And he is moving from that holding midfield role to being the proper John Giles style midfielder that he loves to see, who isn't somebody who just sits there and plays 100 passes per game, who drives his team forward, who turns on the ball. And it's hard not to see him ending up at Chelsea or one of those top four teams next summer and walking straight into that team and being a key player.
Right.
But I've gone with Højbjerg.
Okay, who else? Let's horse through these midfielders. So there's three of them.
Jordan Henderson and Bruno Fernandes. I think Henderson, it was a toss-up between him and Wijnaldum, but Henderson has arguably been better this season than he was last season. It's no surprise that Henderson didn't play in the defeat to Aston Villa in this freakish result that happened. Like, he wasn't there. Not having fans, you can actually obviously hear a lot more of Jordan Henderson and what a leader he is in that team, particularly when they've had so many injuries over the last while, sort of guiding those younger players. And I think technically he's improved massively as well. Again, he's somebody whose range of passing has improved, who sets Liverpool off in these never-ending attacks, keeps opposition teams penned back. Wijnaldum has been brilliant as well, but I've gone with Henderson just ahead of him. And the other one is Bruno Fernandes. And I think this time last year we were talking about Fernandes when he was still in Portugal and saying he was probably the most singly influential player on his team in Europe at that stage and how that would fit in at Manchester United. And it's sort of the same, it feels like. His goals return, his attitude, the nastiness. He's the one player in that United team who has that little bit of nastiness in him, which they definitely need. And I think the goals he scored and what he contributes and how he's dragged United through teams so far this season means he's got to be in there as well.
So it's a very boring two sixes you're playing with Bruno. I mean, look, you get the opportunity to pick any footballers in the football team of the year.
Bruno's not a six.
No.
Bruno's an eight.
No, it's Højbjerg and Henderson, essentially.
Henderson's become an eight. Henderson was a six. That's why he's in the team. He's now an eight.
Nah. You've gone for two defensive holding. You don't have any faith in your centre-back partnership, and so you've picked two defensive midfielders. Where the hell is Jack Grealish?
Well, he's probably on the ground rolling around, having been fouled for the 15th time in a game.
Yeah.
When Jack Grealish
winning
picks
a penalty,
himself up,
winning a free kick.
When he picks himself up and starts to ride tackles and starts to drive his side forward more often. Like, being the most fouled player in the Premier League is not a good thing.
What? What?
He's gone down too easily. Just get up and get on with the game.
He's obviously winning frees the whole time.
Yeah, but more often than not in dangerous positions. He's back in his own half. He's getting clipped. I think Grealish has been very, very good. I don't think he's been at the level that Henderson or Bruno Fernandes have been at this season.
You picked Højbjerg ahead of him.
Well, I picked Højbjerg because I think you need a good, solid...
That's Henderson.
You know, these guys don't get the praise they deserve. It's like, you know, the N'Golo Kantes of this world, they're overlooked at times.
Sorry, I had to quickly Google it there. That's why I was trying to fill. Total dribbles. He needs to drive forward. He's got the fourth most dribbles of any player in the Premier League. Traore and Guisa Lukman are ahead of him. After that, it's Grealish. Ahead of Rashford, Mane, Richarlison. There's not a midfielder on the list.
But that's, by the names you're giving out, a completely irrelevant stat. Lukman and Anguissa.
Drive forward. I proved to you he's driving forward.
We're talking about two players playing for Fulham who are, play such brilliant attacking football, create so many chances.
He's ahead of Mane.
Because Mane's more direct. There's an end result to everything that Mane does. He dribbles when he needs to dribble, but he gets rid of it quickly when it's the better option.
Right. I think that, like, it speaks to the darkness in your soul, Nathan, that you're picking two defensive midfielders. Very quickly, we've got 2 minutes left for this. Who are your three forwards? This is pretty straightforward.
So I've got Mo Salah on the right. I think that was fairly straightforward. He's top scorer in the Premier League this season. He is, I would say, technically the best player in the Premier League. Even when he's not scoring goals, he's making space, he's creating, he scores great goals, and he scores lots of goals. So Salah, I think, was probably first name on the team sheet. The centre-forward position, I've gone with Harry Kane, though it was very tight because you've got Vardy and Calvert-Lewin in there, but what Kane has added this season in terms of his link-up play and buying into Mourinho's system, he wins every header on the edge of his own box, yet still he's scoring goals and creating more goals than ever. And then Heung-min Son has to be in as well, out on that left-hand side. I think Zaha and Richarlison have been excellent this season as well, but like, Son's goal scoring, he's, every time you watch him, he is a threat. And again, remember, himself and Kane are playing the team that don't really attack. So they have to be lethal. They have to be clinical.
Footballer of the year?
So far, Salah.
Right. I would have gone for Son. But anyway, Nathan's team of the year, no Jack Grealish. What a scandal. Martinez, James, Fofana, Fabinho, it's Rhys, Robertson, Højbjerg, Henderson, Fernandes, Salah, Kane and Son at 4-3-3.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.